We're on Insight. Jack Stogler on this gorgeous Wednesday evening with Mr. Neil Spencer. Hello, Neil.
Well, hi, Jack.
How are you?
I'm just fine.
Welcome.
Well, and thanks. Welcome to you.
Well, thank you.
Are you welcoming? Well, welcome to my studio.
Host, you? Yeah. Welcome to your studio.
Thank you.
Can I get you some corn nuts or whatever these things are?
Those are Cracker Jacks peanuts.
They're good.
Pretty good.
Yep.
Pretty good.
And in studio,
yep,
probably somebody that we should welcome because yeah, he does own the place, is Mr. Steve Stone.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Steven, the owner of Nature's Green Nursery for, it's been at least 5 years.
Something like that.
Yeah.
They tell me it's 24.
You've owned that for 24 years?
I don't think that's possible.
I don't think it is.
Because I'm only 30, so.
Yeah. You had to start when you were 8.
Yeah. Yes. He was mowing grass when he was 10.
So yeah, I was mowing grass when I was 10.
Yeah. So, welcome, Steve. And, you know, we met, I think, last fall, maybe October or so. And you talked about things to do in preparation for the end of the, you know, growing season. So I thought it would make sense to get together and, you know, talk about the beginning of the growing season. So
is it the beginning of the growing season or is it just the dead of winter?
Yes. It is hard to tell.
Yes, it is. It is both.
It is both.
Somebody told me this week, they said, we've managed to lose two seasons.
Yeah.
It's just summer and winter.
It seemed like it.
That's all we have. We have summer, and then we have winter, and that's it.
You know, on my Facebook recall thing, whatever they timeline or whatever, it had a post that I posted 2 years ago, and I think it might have been Tuesday, that I had just gotten done mowing my yard.
We talked about that at work last Friday because Eric, that works for me, he's a nut when it comes to his yard. And we were talking about the exact same thing. And he said, I think I mowed last year. This might have been the second time I mowed last year.
Yeah.
And I said, well, I know I had mowed at least once at this point last year. And unless you got a boat, there's going to be no mowing going on. And plus, as cold as the temperatures has been, the grass is actually this week, it really kind of started to perk. The last couple of days, it started up a little bit.
Yep. Up until just this week, it was still pretty dormant.
It was pretty brown and pretty ugly, but starting to perk up a little bit.
So, well, I tell you what, we're going to talk about all of that stuff. We're going to talk about your family, get you caught up on how the girls are doing, and then
don't forget he also has a son.
Oh yes. And then we'll talk about landscaping and yards and all this stuff right after we come back. Take her away, Neil.
It's Lent and it's time for fish, and Brick Street Tavern has several great seafood choices. We have two great Friday night supper specials. There's our all-you-can-eat breaded pollock for only $6.95 and a grilled salmon dinner for only $9.95. And both come with our large salad bar and choice of potato. And we have two Friday lunch specials, a two-piece breaded pollock dinner with fries and slaw for only $5.25 and our endless soup and salad bar for only $5.95. So for a change of pace and a great meal where you don't have to stand in line to eat, stop in to Brick Street Tavern in downtown Fort Recovery every Friday during Lent for one of our great specials.
Cooper Farms Feed and Animal Division in Fort Recovery, Ohio is seeking a second shift feed delivery driver, which requires a Class A CDL. My name is Bob Stogler, and I have been at Cooper Farms for 33 years, which has enabled me to develop great friendships along the way and great opportunities. Come join the Cooper team today. Apply online at cooperfarms.com.
I'm Kenny Canute from K&L Tractor Sales in Fort Recovery, Ohio. For a tractor with big chore versatility and power, ask us at K&L Tractor in Fort Recovery about the 140 to 165 horsepower T7 series tractors from New Holland. They're the all-around workhorse you need for loading, haymaking, mixing feed, and spreading manure. They offer choice of transmissions and unmatched versatility to power implements on front or back. Plus, you work your best in the quiet comfort of a Horizon cab. See us at K&L Tractor Sales in Fort Recovery today.
The Fort Recovery Academic Booster Club is having their Battle of the Brains again this year on Sunday, April 15th from noon to 3. Get your four-person team together along with an alternate, get yourself a sponsor, and get signed up now. The cost is $75 per team. Your team can be a group of friends, co-workers, family, even a group of students, at least 7th grade, please. Pick up your entry form at the high school office or by going to FortRecoveryschools.org and clicking on Battle of the Brains 2018 and downloading the application. And new this year, there will be a fun trivia round for anyone to participate in. Just show up, get a group of 4 people, and you can be in the fun trivia part of the contest. And the best part, there's no charge to get in the fun trivia contest. Just show up and have fun. And even if you don't want to be in either the formal contest or the fun pop culture trivia rounds, stop by and be amazed and entertained by how smart your friends and neighbors are. It's the Battle of the Brains on Sunday, April 15th. Be sure to get entered now by going to FortRecoverySchools.org and clicking on Battle of the Brains, or pick up your application at the high school office. The Fort Recovery VFW is having their annual fish fry every Friday during Lent. They'll be serving their all-you-can-eat fish from 4:30 to 7 for only $7 for adults and $5 for 10 and younger. And it's not just the great fish they're serving up. They also have baked beans, macaroni and cheese, coleslaw, potato salad, fruit, and more, and coffee is included. So head on out to the VFW west of Fort Recovery on State Route 119 for your Friday night Lent supper. Just $7 for adults and $5 for 10 and under for their all-you-can-eat fish and more every Friday night during Lent.
We're back. Insight. Jack Stogler, Mrs. Steve Stone. And we're... Before we get into the whole lawn care landscaping thing, let's talk about family. Okay?
All right. My kids are doing just fine, thanks.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Those that you know about anyways.
Or that I'm willing to talk about. Or
that you're willing to talk about. So let's talk about your family, Steve. Just catch us up on what Corey's doing.
The oldest, Corey, she's down at UK. She's in her sophomore year, doing extremely well. She's in their nursing program, and she's, I think the last time I talked to her, she's got all A's, and she loves Lexington, and she applied for and got a scholarship through the College of Nursing, and so she's locked in with their program. She's getting a little bit of a scholarship to be there, and when she graduates, with that scholarship, they have her locked in that she's going to work for the university or work at the university hospital once she graduates. And so,
for how long does she have to do that?
For every semester that they're paying for her school, she has to work a semester afterwards. So it's a great deal. I mean, it's a fantastic deal.
Well, she got a locked in job,
and she's got a locked in job, and she loves Lexington. So
not that nursing jobs are hard to get hired, but
so she's loving it. Carly, she's had a lot of opportunities to play sports, basketball and volleyball at smaller colleges, and she just. She wants to play really, really bad, but the smaller colleges aren't offering much. And she's obviously concerned about her grades. And she's like, well, if they're not offering anything to offset my costs and I have to, play and keep my grades up, she's...
Yep.
Not overly excited about doing that, but she's been accepted to Ohio State, Miami, and IU, and I think the last we talked, she kind of had it narrowed down. She was thinking Ohio State was where she wanted to be.
Yeah.
So Kevin Rhodes and I are pretty excited about that.
Oh, yeah. I was saying last time we talked that Indiana was very high on her list.
Well, Indiana, I think, was more high on her list than she was on IU's list. They approached her and the coaches approached her about rowing for their rowing team and actually offered her a position on the team. And I think they said that typically if you stay on, that'll lead to some small scholarship money and stuff. And, Bloomington's a great campus. The people over there that we've met are absolutely fantastic people. And I love the campus. I loved everything about it, but she just wasn't into that, and she certainly wasn't into the rowing thing.
Yeah.
She's definitely wants to play volleyball, and she would probably play basketball, but she really wanted to play volleyball someplace and didn't get the offer that she was hoping for. Yeah. So she probably is going to end up at Ohio State, which... Mm-hmm. you know.
There's worse places to
be. Yeah, how can you go wrong there? I think her only hesitation about being at Ohio State might be that Kevin and I might, like, be in her dorm all the time and hanging out with her and wanting to do stuff with her, and it would be pretty, you know, uncool to be hanging out with.
I have a feeling she'd probably draw the line fairly quickly in that.
Yeah.
Fairly quickly.
So, Cade is a sophomore, and he's lifting weights a lot and getting ready for the football season. He's also running track and throwing shot put and discus with track. So
really?
Yeah.
Well, that's good.
He's busy, and he's been lifting, getting in the weight room a little bit. And
so he's finishing up his sophomore year?
Finishing up his sophomore year, looking forward to football. He loves playing football, plays defensive end, and he likes hitting people, and as long as it's not his girl, his sister's, I'm okay with that.
Yeah, you're okay with
I'm
that.
I'm perfectly fine with that. So he's doing real well. So
good.
Everybody's getting along great. Am I supposed to talk about my wife, too?
Well, yeah, you have to at least mention her.
Nikki's doing great. She's busier. And, well, it's just the time of year where things are getting a little bit crazy between work, and she helps out. I mean, she's really honestly an integral part of the business this time of year. She's takes care of the greenhouses, helps with that, and she's just got an incredible flair for doing decorative pots and doing different things with the helping customers. And she's great. I mean, absolutely phenomenal. And so, yeah, it's been hectic. But, I mean, obviously, we've been doing it a few years, so we know that's what it is.
Yeah, yep.
It is what it is this time of year.
So during the winter, the greenhouses are pretty much empty, correct?
Yeah, the greenhouses are empty, you know, through October, November, December. We start getting plants in. Our first loads usually come in maybe the second week or third week of January.
Okay.
And we can keep, you try to manage, you know, heating is hugely expensive. So try to manage and keep everything crammed into as a few houses as possible. And then as the plants get bigger and you get more and more, you have to space them out. So right now, all of them are going like gangbusters. They're bulging, getting plants ready, growing, and getting the hanging baskets and stuff. We're going like gangbusters right now.
So is what you sell out there, does that come in as plants, or do you plant anything from seed or nothing from seed or some things from seed? Or
production from when we started in 1994, greenhouse production has changed dramatically. You know, we used to do a lot of seeding ourselves and then growing the plants on and then up potting. And the couple of things, labor is expensive and heat is really expensive. And so we try to decrease our production time by buying in plants that are called plugs, which they might be maybe an inch.
Yeah.
They're basically a germinated seed.
Okay, so you're saving 3-4 weeks
of
heating?
At least, And germination.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Some of the seed, especially there's different varieties of begonia seeds that are so tiny, ounce for ounce, they're worth more than gold. So you don't want to just kind of willy-nilly throw that stuff around and hope they germinate. Yeah. The bigger production-type greenhouses have machines that can put each one of those seeds in a cell, so you don't lose anything. So we get those in plugs, and then we'll up pot those and then grow them on. So it decreases our production time.
I was thinking that it'd make plenty of sense just to plant everything from seed, because that's what a lot of people do at their house, but they either have a sunroom or in their kitchen in the window. That's a little tough to do at a commercial level.
most seed, yes, that would be the least expensive way to go would be to buy the seed and germinate yourself. But when you're dealing with, again, like tomato seeds are relatively big. You can kind of pick them up one at a time and germinate them and grow them, and that's relatively simple. Some of the stuff that, again, are really, really tiny seeds, you just can't
effectively and easily
spread those out, germinate and grow them. And so the
big... And if you're doing it in your kitchen window or your sunroom...
You're
either heating nothing or something's already heated, or you're heating 10 square feet. So
instead of
giant greenhouses.
Well, in 2000, when we bought the Salina location, natural gas was like $2.50 per 1,000 cubic feet.
Yeah.
And then when it went up to $12.
Oh.
And so at that point, there just simply is, I mean, there's just, we're not growing pot. You know, there's just not a lot of margin. There's not a lot of margins in geraniums and petunias compared to something like that. Yeah. And plus, we're too close to the sheriff's department there.
Yeah, it is a little close.
But, you know, that's a little close for comfort.
Well, I'd save them a lot of travel time to chop it all up.
Right. And it wouldn't take them long to get me to jail. There's not a lot of margins in that. So you just can't. You got to watch every penny, and you just can't spend all that money on heating. So again, we changed all of our production schedules to shrink the amount of time that we were using and heating our greenhouses.
That makes sense.
To minimize simply our heating costs, and natural gas and propane goes up and down, and it's back down to a more manageable price at this point. But at one point, it was just like there was a couple of winters. It's like I don't even want to start them this year because as soon as we light the furnaces, we're losing money. So it's tough.
So it's been a crappy March.
Yes, sir. Okay. And it certainly has.
Yes. And I bet you knew that even before I told you.
I knew that a long time ago.
Yeah. So you know, I'm sure that once it gets sunny and 60, that your parking lot's going to be full of people looking to do stuff. So when it comes to early spring stuff, what's the things that most people do?
Well, when you get this late in the season, this late in the winter or early spring or whatever, everybody's got cabin fever. So we have lots of people out that just want to look.
Yeah.
Kind of wander around. They get a huge kick out of walking into greenhouses and wandering around and seeing all the stuff growing, which is, you know, great.
I saw probably half a dozen cars in the parking lot yesterday or Monday, maybe. Would that have been employees?
That probably was
pot buyers.
We did have some customers come in yesterday that were asking about a couple of different things, and I'll have customers stop in if I'm doing a landscape layout project. They'll come in and look at the drawing and everything. But we have been slowly getting a couple of the guys that took layoff, like in December. Mm-hmm. We got two of them came back, and we've got tons of stuff to do. So it's probably mostly employees. Okay. I mean, we're getting geared up right now to get going. So the guys are getting the equipment squared away, oil change, stuff like that. So we're ready to, you know.
Yeah.
Hopefully it dries up one of these days, and we've got lots to do. So we got to get ready. So the guys are coming in, getting equipment ready. We're getting taking deliveries on plants every day. So we're getting unloading plants, getting those ready, staged, and organized. So there's a lot going on right now. Along with that, there's a lot of dollars going out, but at this point, there's none coming in.
So yeah, that's the way it
kind of gives me heartburn a little bit.
But. Yeah.
So as like you, so what's the first thing that you know, people ought to be doing in the spring to kind of?
Well, this time of year, you know, one of the things from a lawn standpoint is you want to it. You know, I always tell people, take a soil test if you haven't done anything to your lawn in a long time. And you always come up, people always come up and say, well, what do I need to put on my yard? And I'm like, I don't know. What's your soil test tell you? Well, I don't know what that is or where to get it done. You know, take a soil test. You can, very simple, very inexpensive. You take a soil sample, take it over to Brookside Lab. And there's probably other people. I know the local mills, Mercer Landmark, and all those companies like that, ag companies, will do a soil test. I always run mine over to Brookside Lab in New Bremen. They'll take some 2 or 3 days. They'll email me back my soil test, and just gives me a readout on what's in the soil, nitrogen, phosphorus, potassium, microelements, pH, organic matter, all those different things. And then I can give you an idea, okay, I would put this, and this on. You just want to be a little bit careful what you're applying. I mean, the water quality issues are huge, so people are very particular about what they're applying, so they're not polluting groundwater, they're not polluting, you know, the lake, streams, creeks, whatever. So that's the best thing to start with, is to do a soil test and see what you got. Then you know what you need to apply to get your turf, if that's what you're doing, happy and healthy, your lawn or garden. If you had somebody come in and say, you know, my garden's done lousy the last 3 years, what do I need to put in the soil? And it's like, let me see, you know, actually, yeah. I gave him the address. I said, send that to Brookside, have them evaluate it, do a soil test, and then email me. Because she said, well, if I get my results, I'm not going to have a clue what that means. And I'm like, yeah. I understand that, and that's fine. Here's my email address. Email me those, and I'll read it, and then I'll tell you what you need to do. But people are always wanting to get their lawns going. So, again, the fertilizer, you know, put a granular fertilizer down. If you're really particular, you want to put a pre-emergent weed control down with your fertilizer, which a lot of your early season stuff, like your Scott's products and stuff, will have pre-emergent in it. So you're applying a herbicide and you're fertilizing at the same time. It's perfect time of year to do that. You want to get that herbicide put down, which we don't really have to worry about it, but you need that put down before soil temperatures reach 55 degrees. Last time I checked soil temperatures was late last week, and the soil temperature was like 33 degrees.
Oh, no kidding.
So it's probably a little bit warmer than that now. Yeah. So you got plenty of time to get that down. Get your pre-emergent down. That'll control grassy weeds, that crabgrass and foxtail mostly, that will be germinating when the temperatures reach 55 to 58 degrees. That's when those weed seeds will germinate.
You'd mentioned the lake quality, and so does the lawn fertilizing and the chemicals on lawn really have that much effect on a freaking lake that size? I mean, to me, it seems...
I'm notorious. I think, you know, I might be notorious for getting myself in trouble and saying things I shouldn't. You're leading me down a path.
Okay.
Well, let me throw this in. It isn't just
if you
the lawns that are right by the lake that are washing in. It's all the ones that where stuff goes into the streams that feed into the creeks that go into the lake.
So. I saw a pie chart, and it shows what percentage or what runoff percentage is. Basically, it had three categories. It had residential, it had ag, and it had industrial.
Yeah.
And what goes into a lot of the creeks and streams around here, obviously, and into the lake, it was, I don't know, remember the exact numbers, I'm going to say it was 75% ag.
Yeah.
75 or 80, and then it was, you know, 10 or 15 industrial, and then the rest was residential. Yeah. And so, no, residential. And if you're applying to the label rate, and that's what I always tell people. I tell people soil test when you don't have a question.
Yeah, that's why I did that once, not on purpose, but the spreader thing was kicking it more out, and within a week I had a nice brown lawn.
The label's the law, and you're supposed to, if you're applying at label rates, whether it's a fertilizer or certainly an insecticide, fungicide, pesticide, if you're applying at label rates, and I don't care where you're applying it, I don't care if you're 6 miles or 10 miles upstream in Maria Stein, or if you're immediately adjacent to the channel in Salina or Montezuma, if you're applying at label rates and you follow the labels, it is nearly impossible to pollute if you're doing it correctly and you're doing it by label rates. Those labels are accurate, and the research that goes into those applications and the percentages and all that stuff has been studied and studied and studied and tested and studied, and it's not going to pollute.
Yeah.
It's just, if you do it right, it's not going to pollute.
Yeah.
I mean, it just simply is not.
So you're saying that you're supposed to read the directions? I hate that. I don't like to do that.
I'm telling you, the label is the law, and I don't know of any nursery landscape professionals that's gone to jail because they didn't. But there's certainly been fines, and there's been really hefty fines if you aren't applying at the right rates and you get caught.
I mean, especially if you're doing 140 acres.
It's significant. I mean, the fines are pretty significant. Yeah. So,
so are the consequences. So, I mean, that pollution in the Grand Lake is tough. It's bad.
So I tell you what, we're going to take a little break, and then we're going to come back and talk about, once the weather breaks, what should I be having my wife do in the yard?
There you go.
Everything.
We'll be back right after this.
Klingchern & Sons Trucking Incorporated is a family-owned and operated business in Burkittsville. They have over 50 years of experience, and they pride themselves on their commitment to punctual transportation and exceptional customer service. They offer local and long-haul transportation. They have dump trucks, stone slingers, flatbeds, vans, and refrigerated trailers. They have great employment opportunities as well. Visit their website at klingchernandsons.com or call them at 937-338-5000. Call Klingchern & Sons Trucking for all your transportation needs.
Bohr's Welding and Steel in Fort Recovery has 35 years of business experience with over 150 years of welding experience. From lawnmowers to semis, bring it to Bohr's, or Steve can send a mobile rig to you. If it can be welded, Bohr's Welding and Steel can do it. Need something made and fabricated? It's their specialty. Call Renee today at 419-375-4087. Bohr's Welding and Steel, 2 miles north of Fort Recovery on State Route 49, or call Steve for a quick quote at 419-375-4087.
Running late? Can't decide what to make for supper? Just don't have time to make supper? Just call Miracle Lanes at 375-4274 and let them get your meal ready for you. Everybody can get what they want. Subs, great sandwiches, all kinds of deep-fried goodies, plus their famous wings and pizza. And be sure to stop by on Friday at lunch for their Lent buffet featuring shrimp and their famous hand-breaded fish along with their full salad bar and more. And don't forget to make your reservations for your kid's birthday party or any other occasion. So whether it's getting your supper ready tonight or reserving your lanes for a party, let Corey and Jared take the hurry and stress out of your day. Just call them at 375-4274. Here's a great event coming up in the Fort Recovery area. On Sunday, April 8th, it'll be the American Legion Ladies Auxiliary Annual Breakfast from 8 in the morning to 12:30 in the afternoon. It's all-you-can-eat sausage, pancakes, scrambled eggs, baked goods, and more, and your beverages included, milk, coffee, and orange juice. It's only $6 for adults, $3 for children 4 to 8, and kids 3 and under are free. Head on out to the Legion on Sunday, April 8th for the Ladies Auxiliary Breakfast from 8 to 12:30.
Hi, this is Dan Redmond from VCTS Racing. I wanted to invite you to join Corey Hensley and myself on Mondays starting March the 12th at 7 p.m. for the Bohr's Racing Report. We will talk NASCAR racing as well as racing at the surrounding local tracks as well as VCTS racing. So tune in Mondays starting March 12th and go racing with us. Go to FortRecoveryRadio.com or download the free TuneIn app and search Fort Recovery Radio. Don't forget, it's the Bohr's Racing Report every Monday night at 7 p.m. on Fort Recovery Radio. Starting Monday, March the 12th.
We're back. Insight. Talking about former employees and all kinds of fun stuff. So, Stoney, you know, and this is kind of a sidebar, but talking about employees, you know, in my field, you know, I know that employment is tight. So, like, can, like, you see yourself having trouble getting staff?
That's absolutely one of the biggest issues we've had. I mean, as far as trying to manage our jobs and, quite honestly, just get things done and manage growth. I mean, our growth is struggling just simply because we just don't have enough people and we don't have the right people. So absolutely. I mean, I don't know. I heard something. I don't know what the number is, but I mean, I heard the unemployment rate in Mercer and Dark counties like 2.5%.
Yeah. Yeah. And I just saw that it was even lower last month than the month before. And it was
right
already the lowest in the state and just really low.
And 2% of those people are completely unemployable. So your pool is tiny. And, you know, I've made some offers to some kids. I can say kids. They were 20. The kid that was 22 or 23, and he was working at Crown, and he, you know, just wanted to get out of the factory. Yeah. And they caught wind that he was interviewing, and they offered him another $4.
Wow.
I mean, right. I mean, and the kid's 22, and he's making some serious bucks over there. And I'm thinking
$4 more an hour. Jeez.
Yeah.
That's about $150 a week.
Yeah. More. So, I think he was ready to come on board, but, you know, with that kind of an incentive for him to stay. And again, you know, Cooper's is always hiring and they have, you know, they have a great staff and a great company, and you're competing with Crown and you're competing with Minster Machine and certainly the subsidiaries of Honda that are close to us, and so it is really, really tough. Yeah.
Can you get a lot of it done with, let's say, high school or college kids coming back?
High school and college kids are fantastic, and we certainly will use those guys, and we appreciate all their help. But the problem is, we need them in all through April and all through May, which are two busiest months, and most of the high school and college kids aren't going to be available until the middle to the end of May. And so we're already 6, 7, 8 weeks behind when they come on board.
Yeah. Plus, a lot of times you need, you know, guys that'll drive company trucks and stuff for you, so you want them to be a certain age anyway.
Have to be a certain age, 18. Yeah, we've got some bigger, you know, 2-ton trucks and pulling a trailer and a skid loader. It's not something you typically want to put a 16-year-old driving, flying down the road in that. So, yeah, it's certainly tough. I mean, I know you see it with Coopers. It's tough. It's just unbelievable. Never in a million years thought when I started the business that the hardest part would be finding people. I thought it would be finding the work. And we have a relatively easy time finding the work.
Yeah.
It's getting it done and getting it done in a timely fashion. But you talk to anybody, Cowpie, anybody.
Yeah.
And I drive a lot. I mean, I must drive 40,000 miles a year doing all the things I'm doing. And you drive down 66 going through, you know, St. Mary's into New Bremen and into Minster and into Fort Laramie. Every town and every business, I swear, has a for sale or a help wanted sign out. I mean, they're everywhere. All the burger joints, you know, every place.
Yeah, I saw Wendy's in New Bremen said premium salary or premium. You know, their premium wages, I think, was the
thing. I mean, and everybody, like I said, everybody's looking to hire. Everybody's growing. And I don't know where all the people are. I don't know where all the, I don't remember it being that bad years ago.
But the nice thing is, though, if you do get somebody in this area, they're probably going to be a very good worker. And
Mercer. I mean, being in Columbus for 5 years when I was in Columbus.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're from Mercer, Auglaize, Dart, I don't want to forget anybody, but basically Mercer, Auglaize, Dark.
30 miles
even in Columbus, you know, people know.
Yeah.
If you're from that area, you're probably going to be an unbelievably good worker. And, you know, you would get the extra dollar an hour. You would get the extra nod because it's just our reputation.
And they know you're going to show up. And that's correct. In the urban areas, the bigger cities, not even just in the big city itself, but even in the suburbs, there's so many people that they have a job and they'll show up 4 out of 5 days, and a lot of the employers are happy to have them 4 out of 5 days.
And let's face it, if you're a humongous company like Honda, you didn't throw a dart at the map of the United States and say, we're going to put our engine plant, our assembly plant, our transmission plant, our interior plant. We're not going to, it wasn't a guess.
No.
They did research and they're like, okay, these people are crazy hard workers. They're going to show up for work. They're healthy. We're going to invest all of our money here in this part of Ohio because we're going to have a tremendous workforce.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's like you get into the spring here. And you're looking at your landscape, okay? What should be the stuff that you're looking for coming out of the winter? And you're
what I've got, or what I've noticed, and what I've been getting a lot of text messages and text pictures, and people are sending me stuff all the time. What's this? Why is it? You know, one of the things I had gotten a number of pictures on was just damage from the winter, and a guy had texted me a bunch of pictures of all of his fruit trees, and in the bottom 18 inches of all of his fruit trees, there's no bark left on them at all. They're just, it's all gone. And he's like, what in the heck would strip all this bark off? Is it my dogs? Is it, you know what? Yeah. I'm like, I looked at the pictures. I'm like, ah, it's rabbit damage. When there's snow cover, ice cover, severe winters, they'll eat anything that is above the snow or anything they can basically get their little teeth on. And rabbits are notorious for stripping the bark off of smaller trees and shrubs. They love fruit trees. They love anything in the euonymus family, which would be like burning bushes. And so they're hungry little varmints, and they will literally on small trees that have real thin bark, and it doesn't necessarily have to be fruit trees. It can be any young tree that has a very smooth bark. They'll just strip all the bark off of those trees, and they'll eat the bark and the cambium that's under the bark. And, you know, unfortunately, if they strip the bark all the way around the trunk of the tree, they've effectively girdled the tree, and it's probably, I mean, it's junk at that point.
No kidding. Yeah, it can't, doesn't have any way to get nutrients up, correct?
Right. Yes. You get a gold star, Neil.
Thanks. I paid attention in biology.
That's right.
That's the one thing I remember.
The vascular system of a tree is immediately underneath the bark. And there's xylem cells and there's phloem cells, and that's the vascular system of the tree. And if you peel that bark off, you basically, you know, you eliminate the vascular system, so it has no way of getting nutrients and water from the roots up to the tree, up to the branches and leaves and buds. And so,
kidding.
Yeah, so those trees will all die. There may be enough energy in those if you leave them planted and they all the bark stripped off. They may flower and they may leaf out. There'll be enough energy left in the tree to put out a few leaves at the top, and you're like, oh, they made it, they're alive. And then as soon as we get the first 75 degree day with a little breeze, there's no more nutrients and there's no more moisture to replenish that, and that the foliage will desiccate and then the plant will die.
Oh, Wesley Webbit.
Yep. So the rabbits were bad. Voles, which are like mice, only they have a little bitty short stubby tail, where the field mice will have a real long tail. Voles will get into your perennials and your turf, and they'll feed, but they normally feed on everything that's above the ground, and so foliage and things, but they typically don't kill plants unless they dig them up and feed on the roots, and they will dig up bulbs and they'll damage and eat bulbs. But the voles, again, you may not notice them, and if you do see them, you might think they're just a field mouse. They look exactly like a field mouse, but those are voles. They'll cause damage, and rabbits, like I said, were the real varmint that caused a lot of damage this year. So those are a lot of the first questions I've got, and we've had some fairly, I mean, obviously some pretty horrible temperatures over the winter, minus 14, I think, one night, minus 16, stuff like that. So I've been out kind of rooting around in my landscape, looking around, and I'm seeing a lot of stuff that died back. The last two winters have been super mild.
Yeah.
No, like, really extremely cold temperatures at all. So roses and hydrangeas and some things that can be fussy in the wintertime, the last 2 years came out looking fantastic. My knockout roses look absolutely horrible this spring. They're, like, died almost to the ground. So again, I think the severity of the winter is going to give you some extra work to do as far as trimming. I'm not saying those plants are dead, but I'm saying they died back a heck of a lot further than they have in the past few years, just because of the colder temperatures. The upside to that is possibly with the minus 10, 12, 14 degree weather that we've had, maybe the insect pressure won't be as bad this year, because overwintering adults, larvae, and egg that were pests that would overwinter may have not made it.
Yeah.
So that might be the only positive out of that, is maybe a little bit less pressure for insects this year, because they've been really bad the last 2 years.
Yeah. So you talked about the knockoff roses. So if like
knockout.
Okay. So the rose bush thing. So if a guy has two or three of those, what should he look for, and then what should he do with it?
The roses, no matter what variety, knockout is the variety that's most popular right now. There's
how about the knockoffs?
Knockoffs? I'm not sure about the knockoffs. No,
you can buy those at Walmart.
Is that right?
It's the knockoffs.
Roses, Grandiflora, Floribunda, hybrid teas, all the different varieties of roses, you kind of treat them the same way. You can go out this season and look at them, and even with as few a warm days as we've had, the canes or the stems that are alive are going to be a very bright green, very noticeable, very healthy green color. And the stems that are dead or the canes that are dead are going to be really dark brown, chocolate brown. And so it's very easy to see even at this point what's alive and what's dead. Okay. And so you just take a pair of sharp pruners and go in and cut everything that's dead out, leave the canes or stems that are alive, or maybe all the stems are brown and cut the whole thing back until you've just got the green canes, and then they'll, you know, when it warms up, they'll start leafing out and taking off. The one thing that's nice about knockouts is they usually have a pretty vigorous growth rate. And so even if they were 4 foot, they could easily be 4 or 5 foot last season. And this season, if you trim them down to a foot, they'll be back up and be big and full and flowering by middle to the end of May. Yeah. So they'll fill in. Don't throw out the baby with the bathwater. I mean, they're going to be fine. The same thing you'll find with hydrangeas is they're plants that are a little bit fussy with cold winters, and so not that they died, but they might have died nearly back to the roots. And again, that's another plant that's very easy to see what tissue's alive and what's dead, because the stems that are alive are going to be a very bright green. The stems, again, that are brown or real dark chocolate brown. So you can go in and prune and trim those and get that dead tissue out of there. Go back. Ornamental grasses are all, I mean, they die down to the ground every year, and you want to get those trimmed down now if you didn't do it last fall, because they're going to start, as soon as we get a few warm days, they're going to start shooting up the new green stuff, so you want to get the brown out of there. And then all your perennial flowers, you know, salvias, sedums, dianthus, daylilies, hostas, those are all plants, too, that if you didn't prune them back last year, get them trimmed off, rake all the debris and tissue, dead tissue and stuff out. So when we start getting some warm weather, you know, all that new growth can take off.
Very good. Well, I'll tell you what, we're going to take a real quick break, come back and talk more about landscaping and such with Mr. Steve Stone from Nature's Green right after this.
Fort Recovery Insurance Agency.
Is my daddy there yet?
Was he coming here?
That's where he said he was going. He's going to buy a gift for me to give my mom.
Well, new insurance coverage for your home, auto, farm, or business from Ohio Mutual would be a great gift for your family, and we have affordable choices. How much did you have to spend?
$2.52 and 2 bottle caps.
I'm sure we can help him find the perfect gift.
Since you're so affordable.
We've got something for everyone. Fort Recovery Insurance Agency. Call 888-375-4181.
Do you have that one room that is too cold in the winter or too hot in the summer? Need to send air or heat to an addition, basement, or garage, but getting it there seems impossible? Introducing Mitsubishi Multi-Zone Systems, your heating and air solution for one room or independent control of every room. Oh, did I mention Mitsubishi H21 systems are ductless and can be installed almost anywhere, even the ceiling? Get a $500 instant savings discount now at Reasoner Energy. Another problem solved by Reasoner Energy. 419-678-4858.
Are you a busy parent, married to your job, or just don't have the time to get to the grocery store? Worry no more. Wayne Street Market in downtown Fort Recovery has the answer for you. Shop online. It's as easy as ordering that pair of shoes you ordered last week. Log on to WayneStreetMarket.com, click on the Shop Online Now button at the top of the page, and start adding to your cart. The process is simple, and better yet, you pay online, drive to the store, and one of our friendly associates will bring your groceries out to you. You don't have to even get out of the car. Don't make life more chaotic than it needs to be. Take advantage of our online shopping today. As always, thanks for shopping your fast, friendly, and convenient grocery store.
Recovery Academic Boosters Club is having a pork chop dinner on Thursday, April 19th. It's carry out only from 4 to 6, and they'll be available for pickup at the elementary preschool entrance. These 10-ounce grilled pork chop dinners will be prepared by Two Willies Barbecue using the international award-winning Iowa State Fair recipe. And the dinner includes a smoked pork chop, baked potato with butter and sour cream, applesauce, and a roll. Tickets are only $8 and must be purchased by Tuesday, April 10th from any high school SAD member, and they They are also available at the high school and middle school offices or by calling Kathy Toby at 375-4227 or Kathy Etzler at 852-2572. The Academic Boosters are the group that recognizes students during our home basketball games. Get your Academic Booster dinner tickets before April 10th for the 10-ounce grilled pork chop dinner at the school offices or from any SAD member, and then just head out to the elementary school and drive by the preschool entrance and pick up your dinners on Thursday, April 19th between 4 and 6, and get a couple of extra tickets and get some dinners to put in your refrigerator for a quick meal later on. Just be sure to get your smoked pork chop dinner tickets before April 10th. The Fort Recovery Firefighters Association will be serving their annual barbecue chicken dinners on Sunday, April 8th at the Fire Hall. That's right, they'll be serving those great barbecue chicken dinners that we all love. They're pre-sale only, so get your tickets from any of the firemen now, then stop down on Sunday, April 8th from 4 to 6 and pick up your chicken dinners. Just drive through the alley from the west and pull up to the window, and be sure to grab a couple of extras for a quick lunch during the week. Fort Recovery Firefighters Chicken Dinners, Sunday, April 8th from 4 to 6. Get your tickets now from any Fort Recovery firefighter.
We're back, Insight, having a little chat about all kinds of fun stuff. So we're talking about landscaping and flowering begonias and petunias and stuff.
Really?
Wasn't that what we were talking about?
Sort of.
You have to understand, this isn't natural to me.
Well, who takes care of your place? Your place always looks awesome.
My wife is unbelievable.
She must be, because it looks like $1 million all the time.
You're
saying you had zero to do with that?
If it's not zero, it's 0.16. Okay, that's as much as I can take credit
for. It's not bad. You got to like a guy that is honest.
0.16%. So as like we talk about like preparing for the spring and the summer. When do you mulch?
Well, I'm not gonna mention any names, but I was out on appointments this week and I was in Salina and I had my phone, but I didn't want to take pictures. But there's a company that was doing a commercial remulch in Salina, and they were shoveling snow out of the landscape beds.
I'm guessing that's too early.
Shoveling snow out of the landscape beds to put mulch down. And I just sat there at a stoplight looking at that, and I'm like, you have got to be kidding me. I mean,
that's not how you do that.
There's nobody that wants to get out and work any more than I want to get out and work. But, I mean, if nothing else, it looks bad. I mean, you got your trucks there, and it's big, and your name's on the side. And here's these poor guys out in the rain, and they're shoveling piles of snow off the mulch to put new mulch down. You know, let's just start with if there's mulch. If there's snow on your landscape beds,
it's too early.
I wouldn't be too worried about mulching. I would be more worried about maybe catching some NCAA basketball, maybe go catch a high school baseball game. You know, it gives everybody a black. I give people in my business a black eye because it looks like, you know, all we care about is a dollar. Yeah. We would never do anything like that. I mean, you know, unless the client said it has to be mulched today, I'm going to say, oh my goodness. You know, when you put that mulch down, you're insulating the cold in. And so if you want the ground to warm up, which you do, you're basically putting a nice thick layer of insulation over the ground, which is going to insulate the cold in the ground. Yeah. And so, yeah, I mean, we've had a few people come out and buy a scoop of mulch here, a scoop of mulch there. If you want to, you know, fiddle around doing some mulching, I'm not going to tell you not to, but as far as coming out and like mulching all the way around your house, I would absolutely say no. I wouldn't do it now. I mean,
so
I would
how
never.
How often are you supposed to mulch?
It depends on how thick you put it down. You can certainly do mulch too much. If you mulch, you know, put 3 or 4 inches down every spring, it's going to get to the point where the mulch doesn't decompose, it gets too deep, and then mulch that's left that deep actually becomes hydrophobic. It actually sheds water. So it'll shed water off your landscaping like the hood of your car after you polished it. So you don't want it on too thick. You never want to put more than on a remulch. You never want to put it down more than about 2 inches thick. And if
you know, you can maybe put it down if you don't, if you do it every other year, you can maybe do it 2 to 3 inches and then skip a year.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with that. But I mean, some people want it to look nice and new and pristine every year, and that's fine. But just make sure you rake a, you know, a thin layer if you're putting it down to give the color back. And mulch is at the right thickness is good for your plants. It inhibits weed growth, holds moisture. I guess it can hold frost in the ground if you
do it at a stupid time.
Do it at a stupid time. There's a lot of research being done about everybody wants to mulch in the spring, which I understand, you know, it looks great and make, you know, that's spring, but there's a lot more to be said. We have actually more and more customers, more clients, and I've actually pushed people to mulch in the fall.
Really?
Because if you're, again, it stands to reason, if you mulch in the fall, you're putting a nice thick layer of mulch down, say in August, September, the ground is good and warm, so you're insulating the warm into the ground, and then you're roots and your, you know, your all your plants
providing more protection for all that stuff.
Exactly. And so actually it pays more dividends to do a late season mulching for your plants than it does, you know, doing an early season one, especially if you're, you know, doing it, you know, like this time of year, it's too early. By the time you get to June, it's all gonna, I mean, it could look a little faded at that point anyhow, but the point is, it's just you don't need to get out there this early and do that. You're not helping anything, I mean, except maybe the aesthetics, but
yeah.
Even that, the grass is still brown and ugly anyhow, so if you put mulch down, to me, it doesn't do much until the grass is greened up.
Well, but then you got all these pretty flowers and you got old faded mulch. It's all turned brown. I don't like that.
Right. Well,
can you just go out there with a garden weasel or something like that, stir it all up?
Well, that's
flip it over.
That's the thing. Like, again, we've got more and more customers that will do a fall mulching. We'll do a fall cleanup. We'll get everything cleaned up, cut all the perennials back, get everything ready for winter, and then put a nice thick layer of mulch down for the winter, and then come back in the spring. And then when we do our spring, you know, our spring spruce up, we'll pick up the leaves and stuff that's kind of blown around over the winter. Yes, we take a heavy garden rake or like those garden weasels, and you kind of stir that mulch back up, and it looks, I mean, for the most part, it looks pretty much like you just mulched it, because you're not going to get a lot of decomposition over the winter time,
especially not on the underneath part.
Right. And so it spruces it back up and looks really nice again.
Yep.
Better way of doing it, boys.
Yep. As you don't typically, you don't want them to mulch every year, or do you? Is that something?
You certainly can mulch every year. Just you want to be careful about how thick you put it down. You just if you're mulching every year, you certainly probably want to do maybe 1 to 2 inches max. But again, you know, some of these guys are in and they're dumping it and raking it, and we've done jobs where we've actually. We didn't do it previous years, but I mean, the guys are smart enough to look and poke around, and they're like, oh my gosh, you know, there's 5-6 inches of mulch here. Well, we'll break the top so many inches off of it and then put a new layer down, because again, you get too much on there, it just creates problems for the plants. Just not healthy at all for the plants.
Yep.
So it's like, we look at, what you have in stock and what's coming, what's the newest, hottest?
There's a lot of neat things out. There's a new rose. I think it's in the knockout variety. That's a peach orange color. There's every year there's new things coming out. There's new varieties, new colors, new growth habits. I mean, like some of the perennials, they'll have a ground cover variety that'll spread and cover a larger area. You know, again, with annuals, there's always different varieties coming out, different colors, bicolors. I mean, there's hybridizing going on, you know, all the time. So everybody wants to come up with something new, the new hot item, and they can get it on patent for 17 years and make their royalties and stuff. So there's a lot of different things going on. One of the biggest trends that I've noticed is with mulching, a lot of people are not wanting to mulch. They don't want to do as frequent every year mulching. So there's a lot of different types of decorative aggregates and gravels and stones that people are using for their instead of mulch.
So is that good? You know, I mean,
not necessarily good for your plants.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not good for your plants at all. But if you put a decorative aggregate down this year, 10 years from now, it's going to look about like when you put it down.
Yeah.
So you're not remulching every year. So that gets into the maintenance thing. If you can decrease the decorative aggregates are usually quite a bit more expensive than mulch, but
you have to do it once.
If you do it once, you know, it'll pay for itself in 2 or 3 years. So we're doing more and more decorative aggregates. I am not like a huge fan of the way it looks. And if you're a gardener, if you're an avid gardener and you're poking around in your landscape beds and you're adding annuals and perennials and bulbs and stuff like that, it's a huge nuisance because you've got all that gravel there. But if you want something completely no maintenance, you put a weed fabric down and then put your decorative gravel down and you're done.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, we're going to take one more break, come back and wrap things up with Mr. Steve Stone, and we'll be back right after this.
Boars Welding and Steel in Fort Recovery has 35 years of business experience with over 150 years of welding experience. From lawnmowers to semis, bring it to Boars, or Steve can send a mobile rig to you. If it can be welded, Boars Welding and Steel can do it. Need something made and fabricated? It's their specialty. Call Renee today at 419-375-4087. Boars Welding and Steel, 2 miles north of Fort Recovery on State Route 49, or call Steve for a quick quote at 419-375-4087.
Are you a driver looking for a career change? Cheeseman Transport of Fort Recovery, a leading provider of transportation and supply chain solutions, is hiring local, regional, and over-the-road drivers for full-time and part-time operations. Drivers can earn up to $80,000 in their first year, receive up to a $5,000 sign-on bonus, and an average of 52 cents per mile plus stop pay. Join our team and apply online at cheeseman.com/careers. That's cheeseman.com/careers. We look forward to speaking with you today.
Hello, this is Stacy from Brick Street Tavern. Stop in and check out our new evening specials. On Monday evening, you can get a sub basket for only $7. Choose from one of our 7 different subs, plus your choice of 2 of our many sides. On Tuesday, it's our wing night featuring 50-cent wings and boneless wings and 75-cent drafts. On Wednesday evenings, you can get $3 off any large pizza, any toppings. Thursdays, you can get our hand-cut grilled or breaded tenderloin basket with your choice of 2 sides for only $5.50. And with all of our specials, you can eat here or take it home. Stop in any night and check out our new evening specials at Brick Street Tavern.
During Lent, the Wendoline Sports Club will again be having their popular all-you-can-eat fish fry every Friday night from 4:30 to 7:30. Along with their famous freshly cooked fish, they have French fries, salad, and several other great side dishes. Bring the whole family. Come early, stay late. Meet your friends at the Wendoline Sports Club every Friday evening during Lent for their all-you-can-eat fish fry. Great food, great company. Wendoline Sports Club's fish fry every Friday during Lent from 4:30 to 7:30. Our Indians baseball team is now 2-1 and playing well. The Indians' next scheduled games will be this Saturday when they'll play at Crestview in a doubleheader starting at 11 a.m. Get your gang together and head on up to Convoy this Saturday to help cheer on our Indians baseball team. But if you just can't get there in person, you can always listen live right here on Fort Recovery Radio, the home of the Indians.
Not yet.
Yes, you are.
I am? Okay.
You're on. You may or may not be ready, but you are on.
But we are on there. We're back. Insight. Jack Sogler, Mr. Steve Stone, my favorite guest. Well, maybe not my favorite guest, but he's the guest that I've got tonight.
Favorite guest tonight.
So, Steve, I tell you what. One thing that certainly appears like it's changed, and I've seen you many of the pictures that you put on you various things.
Whoa! Not sure what happened there. Yeah. Sorry.
And you know, one of the things that you have to enjoy is music coming on at just the right time.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So, that was a sports talk
program. Okay.
That means we have to hurry up.
That's right. It must be. Frickin' Bubba is on it tonight. So, But, you know, where I'm sure when, like, you started this, that you were thinking, I got to know a boatload about plants because that's what people are going to want.
Right.
And in the past 5 years or 10 years, it's become about making your outdoors a living area.
Yeah, and I'm not sure, you know, where that all started, but certainly our business has changed. Absolutely no question. From Eric and I was working on a couple of projects today, and I'm like, where's, you know, just putting 10 plants here and 6 trees here and a garden here, and, you know, all of our projects now include fencing and pavers and structures and water feature, fire features and stuff. So absolutely a blast. I mean, it's a blast to come up with those things, and I can't say enough about the guys that I have working for me, because I'm very creative, so I can come up with the craziest things and it looks awesome on paper, and then I'll give it to Eric and I'm like, dude, how are we gonna, can we build this?
Can we build
this? And Eric's like, looks at it, he goes, well, yeah, I think we can do that. Yeah. And so he gets as much credit as me, him and Kyle, and I have fantastic people around me, and that's how it, you know, and he comes up with some neat ideas, but again, he takes my ideas and I think they look really cool, and then he figures out how to build it, and that makes it fun. But like I said, I give him all the credit because I can scratch it down on a piece of paper pretty easy, and then he has the hard part.
Well, yeah, and it really seems like people have taken the concepts of what they have seen or experienced when they were on vacation on like some lake property or up on some mountain thing. And they said, you know what? I want to take that home and be able to experience
that. I think a lot of that got a big foothold or got some traction maybe back when the economy went to just complete crap. And there wasn't, you know, there just wasn't money out there. People weren't, they called it staycations. They weren't vacationing. Yeah. They were staying home. And it's like, okay, you know, let's put a fire ring back here. You know, let's, so we can sit around and roast marshmallows and hot dogs and stuff. And let's put lighting in and let's do a structure and let's do all these things so we can invite people over, family, friends, and hang out here. Instead of being out driving around or driving a weekend to a location.
Wherever it is.
And so I think that, I mean, that it had started before that, but then it really got rolling after that. But yeah, certainly the outdoor living, all the new home designs I'm seeing now that I'm, you know, looking at and helping with the landscape design, all of them, nearly all of them have a big component.
Yeah.
With an outdoor room, outdoor patio, outdoor fireplace, and then, you know, we take it from there and develop it even further. So,
well, I tell you what, Steve, it is always a pleasure having you on. You know, I want to give you the opportunity to kind of share. This isn't your only radio experience, right?
No, I do.
I mean, it's your best radio.
This is right. This has the best people.
There you go.
Without question.
Very good.
There's people at WCSN that would disagree with that.
Oh,
they're not.
There
listening.
You go. Yeah, maybe they're not listening.
Sonny, I got a question for you.
But no, I'm on WCSM and been on WCSM for 20 years. Every Saturday morning from 8 to 8:30.
Seems like 30 years.
No.
Hey, I got a question.
Bubba's got a question.
Yeah. All right. Last year, I got nature's, they did my yard.
Okay.
Got to do it every year or not? My yard's greener than everybody else's.
You know, as far as the lawn applications go, might be, again, I try to be honest and not think about anything, but no, I mean, if you're happy, if the density's there, the lawn's green and healthy, and let's face it, I mean, you probably don't want to be out there 3 nights a week mowing.
I do.
Oh, you do?
He does.
Yeah. Okay, well,
yeah.
If you want to be out there 3 days a week, then get 5-6 applications every summer. I mean, I always tell people, if you have a brand new lawn or if you haven't had any applications in a long time, you probably want to do 5 or 6 applications from the beginning. And that sounds like a lot, but if you're talking about from the 1st of March till the end of November, that's not a lot of applications. Right. And if you're putting it down at the right rate, who Jack says he puts it down at a double rate, which is wrong. But no, I mean, if you can do, if you see a lot of weeds, you know, do two or three applications 1 year. If it's, you know, thick and healthy and looking good, then take a night off and go to the golf course.
All right. I like it.
So yeah, finish up and tell them about your Saturday
your
morning
radio show.
Radio shows on WCSM every Saturday morning from 8 to 8:30, and I'm always live unless it's close to football season.
Yeah.
Then I might be in C-Bus for a game or two, but then I'll record it. But anyhow, I'm always on WCSM. You can call in questions, and it's always a good time.
Can they text in or email questions?
They can text
ahead of time.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, Steve, I tell you what, and you let's also give out the number out to you, Nature's Green, and you know, if anybody have any needs or questions, where to
give contact. Us a call anytime, 419-375-2322 at Nature's Green. 419-584-0950 is 0950 is our Salina location.
And that opens up next week, I believe, April 2nd. I saw the sign.
April 2nd.
Yep. Starts Monday.
So, yeah, give us a call. I mean, we're there to help if you got questions. I always have, I mean, and I enjoy people bringing in twigs, branches, pieces of grass and sod. You know, what's wrong with this? You know, it's fun. I like I like doing that kind of stuff.
I know what's wrong with it. You broke it off the tree.
OSU Extension over in Salina's got seminars once a month this summer. Denny Reithman is in charge of that, and I was there last week Wednesday and did a talk. Denny's doing a great job over at Salina, and he's got all kinds of seminars coming up. So get on Mercer County's website there for the Mercer County Extension, and they'll have a big list. But you missed the best one because that was the one I did last
week. That was the one you did. Yep. So, well, Steve, I tell you what, I always enjoy you having you on. We'll do it again, you know, maybe in late May or so when we start getting in. And,
Absolutely. I enjoy talking to hear my head roar, I suppose. Yeah. So I think I have good information. And if I don't, I'll just pretend like I do. So,
well, and I can always frame questions to where the answer gets me out of work. So I use these when like I get
that's a plus plus right there.
You know.
And this one's going to be in the archives. If Marcia doesn't believe you, you can just play it for her.
Steve says I shouldn't mulch every year.
I'm taking this year off.
I know. Hey,
you don't believe me? Go to the archives.
That's right. So again, for insight, Jack Stogler, Mr. Steve Stone. We will be back next week where we have Miss Susan Manchester, the
one of the candidates for state representative.
Yeah. For governor, yeah.
Not governor.
For president. Yeah.
State representative.
So we'll be back. No. Well, I won't be back.
You'll be back next week.
Yeah. For insight, Jack Stogler, Steve Stone. We're out of here.
Thank you for staying tuned to Insight with Mr. Jack Stogler, right here on the Fort Recovery Internet Radio. This show was being brought to you in part by those community-minded sponsors you heard during the show. Thank you.